Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Find yourself, live your dreams, and be happy for Saturday, May 12th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, on the second Saturday of each month. Find yourself, live your dreams, and be happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I've had 10 careers. I started as a fashion model, then I was a rock and roll singer, a corporate consultant, an adjunct professor, and today I'm a professional speaker, author, coach, blogger, and radio show host. Let's set the tone for today's program. Polybius once said, "Some people give up their desires and dreams when they have almost reached the goal, while others, on the contrary, obtain a victory by exerting at the last moment more vigorous efforts than before." Today's show is brought to you by Budgetpreneur.com. If you find that you have very little money to invest in your business and yet still need to get things done, stop putting those things off. Go to Budgetpreneur.com. They provide the resources and tools to help you manage your business, save money, and increase revenue. Visit www.budgetpreneur.com and become a member today. Let's get started. By the way, if you're listening online and call it to ask a question, please mute your computer first. The number to call is 646-381-4198. We have an awesome show for you today. Our topic is influence versus power, how to quickly build connections with others. What do you get when you combine the skills of a highly experienced corporate facilitator with a master's in neurolinguistics and hypnosis? You get magically effective instructors. What would it mean if you could quickly connect with others? If you could instantly gain rapport with difficult people, how would your life be easier? What could you achieve? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Our guests are Sandra Vesterstein and Michael Bennett. Let me introduce them to you. Sandra Vesterstein, instructor and certified neurolinguistic hypnotherapy coach, is the founder of Pure Potential Coaching. Since 1985, Sandra has drawn from her degree in health education as well as world-class training in coaching, Reiki, and hypnotherapy to put her clients on the fast track to happiness and success. Sandra is also an assistant instructor at Bennett Stellar University. She offers hybrid coaching that clears the mind of limiting beliefs and inspires clients to fulfill their dreams. Her unique professional approach is informed by her business experience in retail, wholesale, distribution, and telecommunications. Sandra's toolkit integrates life coaching with neurolinguistic programming, NLP, as well as Reiki, hypnotherapy, dream sculpting, and timeline regression. This integrative method allows business people, athletes, and transitioning individuals to overcome anxiety, conquer mental roadblocks, and clearly target their goals. Her website is purepotentialcoaching.com. Our second guest today is Mr. Michael Bennett. He's the founder and chief instructor of Bennett Stellar University. Michael Bennett exclusively instructs for Bennett Stellar University Dream Sculpting. Michael is a master of unconscious communication and personal change work, and he is spiritually based, friendly, and insightful. In the past 25-plus years, Michael has logged over 10,000 hours giving professional presentations and has led more than 1,000 classes and seminars to organizations throughout the United States and the world. He is the master of the masters and possibly the best-kept secret in the personal development industry. He can be found at BennettStellar.org, and I'm so thrilled to have both of these folks on our show today. Welcome, Sandra. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Hello, Yvonne.
I am so thrilled about today's subject matter. This is the kind of question that people often ask. Why influence versus power? And by the way, which side are you on?
I guess I'll take this one, Yvonne. The influence versus power. We're on the side of influence. And the reason for that is that's really the most powerful place to be. To be able to communicate with some influence allows people to be able to get more of what they want in life. Almost everything you talk about, communication and building a connection, is how to better your life, better your relationships, better your career. So by being more influential, we think that's where the most powerful place to be.
How does one influence someone?
Sandra, I didn't know if...
So as far as gaining influence in any situation, it's about having a connection with people. And so what we teach in neurolinguistic programming is about gaining rapport. And that rapport is a connection that you have that you allows people to feel comfortable with you. And when people feel comfortable, they're much more willing to listen to you. So being flexible in our communication style in various ways, Michael's going to talk about that, it's connecting with people in different ways, allows us to actually put people at ease. When they're at ease, they want to listen to you. They want to connect with you. And I've often had a saying that when we come from a place of deciding whether we want to be right or connected, when we choose the side of connection, then people want to be around us. They you know, we're not so concerned about being right. We want to explore different possibilities with each other. So we want to understand how each person is operating. And so doing that allows us to build that connection.
That sounds wonderful. But, you know, often when I'm teaching my classes, someone, when I give them an answer like that, will say, but don't I have to now be fake? I don't want to be fake.
No, you don't want to be fake. To that.
Can I deal with that one?
Yes, please do.
I get that quite a bit. Actually, not as much anymore, but I used to get it all the time. The people say, well, I'm not going to be myself, and,
right.
And isn't this manipulative? And
yes.
I'll answer that in two ways. One, who is a person? I mean, we're constantly changing our behavior. In one context, we're one way, and a person says something to us that either makes us feel better or worse, and we all of a sudden switch and change. So first of all, there's, you know, everybody changes their behavior all the time. So it's not like you're not being yourself. In fact, actually, when I talk about this, and I'll get into the manipulation aspect as well because that comes up, is that you're really communicating effectively is really being respectful to a person and doing your best to be able to communicate in a way that they understand you more fully and that you also understand them more. So I personally think this is more about respecting another person more than it is not being yourself. As far as being manipulative, in a way, you cannot not manipulate. Anytime we're interacting with another person or persons, we're having some influence on their experience. And since we have some influence on their experience, no matter what we do, we're always, in a way, manipulating them. So in a way, you can manipulate them into not liking you or manipulating them into getting along with you. It's really up to you. But either way, you're going to do it. And really, manipulate, as a definition, means to handle with skill. And I think if people want to succeed in life and be able to get along with more people, they want to be able to handle their influence and their communication more with skill. And that will make a smoother go-around for everybody, actually.
Oh, very well put. Thank you very much. How do you get rapport? That's another thing I often speak about. I speak about to get information out of people, to get people to cooperate with you, to be able to work together with people, you have to find common ground and build rapport, right? So how do you get rapport?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I remember working for a company that sent all their salespeople to this very expensive sales program so they'd always would be better. And the number one thing they learned was to get rapport with their clients. That's the most important thing. However, they didn't tell them how to do that. Now, most people do is to try to find something in common, you know, family life, sports, particular activities, maybe political views, things like that, to help try to build some commonality. You know, you hear the phrase or the cliche or whatever, you know, birds of a feather flock together. And that's basically how it does work. The brain does love sameness. You know, you can see in the world how differences are often not as unfortunate because the brain actually learns from differences. But where we find our commonality is through sameness. And I believe the reason that is because our brain understands us better than we do anybody else. Maybe we don't even know that person that well, but we have the idea that the brain sees something in common makes it feel safer, makes it feel more understood. And so we naturally go to finding sameness when it comes to building rapport. You know, that thing is when a couple gets together, they say, oh, boy, we have so much in common, right?
Yeah, we do. We do.
Now, how to do that more generally, though, is to understand communication better. When it comes to communication, a number of studies indicate that there's about three ways that the human being communicates. One is through their body, in gestures, movements, facial expressions, and whatnot. And two, in their tonality. Their rate of speech, their pitch, all this in their voice. And the third is words. Now, many people rely simply on the words. But if you would follow these studies, just communicating by words only gives you 7% of the communication. Now, the most important part of communication, according to these studies, and interaction, in my personal experience, is the body itself. Now, both the body and the tone, and in some parts the words, but the words are more of a conscious effort. The tonality and the body language is typically more unconscious or subconscious activities. And this is really, when it comes to communication, the part of the person's mind that we want to influence the most, the unconscious part of the mind.
Yes.
Now, that's subconscious part of the mind actually runs the body. It determines what emotions we feel. It adjusts all our behaviors. And we react primarily from subconscious or unconscious programming. Knowing that, and knowing that the body has an influence over that, and the tone has a significant influence over that, the more that we can match or find some commonality between body, tone, and words, we're upping not 7% of the communication anymore. We're now getting closer to 100%, depending on how well we do those other two things. Now luckily, there's something we can always observe when it comes to these things, these three things that people are doing all the time. They're constantly in some posture. They're constantly making some form of gesturing. Their facial expressions are changing all the time, right? And instead of having a golf game or a religious view that you may find some commonality in, you can always find commonality in anyone if you kind of pay attention to those things. Because, and if I can go back to a bit of neurolinguistics, because this is where this information comes from, we're constantly, we've got patterns within us that we run. And our mind is always being displayed in our body. So whatever the mind is thinking and the emotions are being generated by the mind is creating our behavior, even if it's just simply our posture at that moment. And we call it in our business stepping in to get rapport, to step into somebody else's model of the world. And we understand their model of the world because that model of the world is being displayed to us through their body language and through their tonality and in part through their words. So by being aware of these things and addressing them, you actually be able to up your communication from possibly 7% or less to closer to that 100%. And getting closer to that 100% of communication is how we're going to build our rapport and create that commonality and understanding.
That's
I can go
great.
Into that more depth if you want.
Well, I have a couple of callers on the line, so I'm going to open the lines and see if anyone has any questions. Does anyone have a question?
Hi, my name is Hugh. I'm calling from Virginia, and it's a fascinating show. I have a self-taught expertise of what I term creative utilization of information. And what I have found is that when I align my interests to those of someone who I'm interested in, be they somebody in power or somebody who has talents that I may not have, and when I interact with them in that fashion, I can create opportunities out of nowhere that I can put in their control and we can both mutually benefit. It's beautiful circles of love.
That's wonderful, Hugh. I have another question for Sandra and Michael. What happens if you lose rapport with someone? Because sometimes these things happen. Is it possible to regain the rapport if you lose that rapport with someone?
Well, definitely it's possible to regain rapport. I think what I've learned through all of this education and with NLP and actually with hypnosis as well is that when we lose rapport, it can be regained easily if you just go back and, you know, like Michael had said, step into someone else's model of the world. And I just oftentimes see I know in my coaching practice, I'll never forget one time I was working with a man, and he was more of a visual, he was a visionary, and I kept on asking him how he felt about something. And he finally just said, if you ask me how I feel about something again, I'm going to scream. I was out of resources because I wasn't in his map of the world. Well, once I became trained in all of this, I started realizing, oh, my gosh, if I had known that. Well, I naturally regained the rapport because I took his feedback in and then I started talking in his terms. But oftentimes, you know, if we just go back and we start, you know, stepping into their map of the world and saying, well, you know, what must they be feeling, seeing, you know, whatever, what words are they using? And we feed that back. And then you can regain control. Tonality for me is a huge, huge thing, especially because I do a lot of phone work. And so I just quickly go back to matching the pacing of the speech, their tonality, and I slow things down. So you can definitely regain rapport. You just have to focus on the outcome. What is the outcome that you really want to have with someone? And if it's connection, then you start getting into their world. And like the previous caller said, is when you focus more on what they're interested in and connect on that level, then rapport is regained.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Sandra. Mm-hmm. How would we apply this to our lives?
Well, I guess I can just about everywhere. I would say it's probably, you know, people say, well, they might doubt that, well, this could be universally benefit, but I think communication is one area where that does hold true. Your personal life. I remember I was doing a program in Singapore, and it actually had to focused on sales professionals coming in to be able to learn skills to be better at being at sales. And it was a two-day program. And the first day, we were talking about the things we're talking about here. And that night, the guy went home. And then one of the students went home, and he came back the next day with this wonderful story. He said, last night I thought I'd try this stuff out you're talking about. And he said, all I did at dinner was match my wife's tonality, just simply matching her rate of speech and pitch and so on and so on. And he said, you know, we had the best conversation we have had in years.
Wow.
And I thought this was a beautiful way to take advantage of the skills that he was learning in that program. And this, so obviously, you know, you spend a lot of time, I imagine, or most people spend a lot of time with their families, their children. You know, all of this is a wonderful way to be able to communicate with them more effectively. If you have rapport with your child, they're going to follow through and listen to you better, take what you have to say more with more importance. Your spouse, obviously, you know, in every relationship that's ever gone awry, they're always saying we just don't communicate well enough. We hear that all the time. So this kind of communication can certainly enhance that. With anyone that you happen to be doing your work with, of course, to be able to effectively communicate is going to make a much better environment there, whether it's your supervisor or people under you. You know, your good friends, your, you know, where would, you know, be able to gain a sense of connection, understanding with a group of individuals or a individual, not be a benefit. And I don't think I could stress enough the advantage of that. And it's simply, you know, going back to that, you know, losing yourself. You're not really losing yourself. You are using your potential for communication. You're understanding something that world leaders, I mean, this information comes from studying people who were, you know, that could sell ice cubes to Eskimos, you know. These people who were just naturally good at being able to create a connection, to be able to communicate in a way that was effective. And why not take advantage of that in homes, you know, and workplaces, and if you need to influence somebody for a certain opportunity, whether it be a business grant or a loan or going down to your local bank, whatever. I mean, anyone could certainly certainly benefit in a variety of different ways. I can tell you wonderful story.
It's interesting too that when you look at when there's resistance in any type of interaction, there's some people that believe that means it's really indication that you're out of rapport. You're not communicating in a way that person's understanding. And Michael and I know this as coaches, is that when our clients aren't going the way that they say they want to go, there's resistance in there. Oftentimes it's, you know, on the coach's part, they may be out of rapport with their clients. And that same goes true, as Michael was saying, with family, managers in business and corporations, when they're not being influential with their team, or there's resistance in the team, it's probably an indication that they're out of rapport with that team.
Absolutely. And I agree with everything you said, and in addition to that, in order for you to get cooperation from people, in order for you to really have a real strong connection so that they feel safe enough with you to share information, opportunities, or anything at all, you have to have that rapport
right
that you have found in alignment with the person. Otherwise, in my experience, there's kind of a little wall there between you and the person that prevents what you're each saying to really get through to the other person. So you're not communicating as powerfully as possible without having that rapport. So rapport is powerful. It's
well, oftentimes people who have natural rapport will be told, people will say to them, oh, I've told you, I'm telling you something and I've never told anyone this before. Because they have that natural ability. And even those people that have the natural ability to gain rapport with individuals can even get better at it.
Right, and it breaks down walls. It breaks down barriers and brings people closer together. And so the sooner you can learn it and use it, the better your own life will be, because then instead of having draining conversations, you will have uplifting conversations where you both walk away from the conversation feeling more pumped, better about having had that conversation, whatever it may be, whether it's with your children, your spouse, or with your business partners.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one student I had in the class, and she came in, and one of the things she was relating to the class is that nobody liked her at work, and the workplace was just hell for her. Nobody seemed to like her. She didn't get along with anybody. But we taught her these skills, and she came back to the next program saying, my God, what a change. Even her arch nemesis that for 9 years, I think she said, that was just like her enemy there, came over and asked her advice. It completely changed her entire workplace and for her, for the better. I mean, she really wanted to get along with people. She just didn't know how.
Thank you.
Am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Yes, I just wondered, I know your show is closing down, what these last comments were just made about. If I can share my name, there's a front page Wall Street Journal article with a memo that had been sent to me by a bureaucrat in which he confided in his confidence in me. It's quite fascinating. If you Google Hugh, H-U-G-H, the last name, Trawlson, T like Tom, RAULSEN.com, and click on historical articles, you'll see this. And this article was the beginning of the end of Jim Wright as Speaker of the House. He resigned in shame.
Wow.
I'll
make a note of that.
There's also a letter from President Obama to me on it. So.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing that. We only have about a minute and a half left to go, and I wanted to invite Sandra and Michael if they wanted to have a few last-minute comments.
Well, I think that'd be great. I mean, I realized that rapport for me, when I really enhanced my skills in developing rapport, it changed all facets of my life. And it not only made me more effective in communication, it also bridged, Yvonne, what you were talking about, that feeling of connection with others. Even though I may not agree with them, I could still be connected to them. And it really taught me to be a respectful communicator. And so I'm grateful that I value rapport skills as much as I do. And it has really helped me not only in business, it has also helped me in my personal life.
Thank you very, very much, both of you. I sincerely appreciate having you as guests on my show today. At this time, it's just about time to close down the show, so I'd like to thank you for this fascinating interview, Sandra and Michael. And thanks to all of you for listening, and those of you who called in, thank you for calling in. And Hugh, we'll check that article out. Thank you very much for hearing that. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois. And I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I'll leave you with this thought for the day. A mother is a person who, seeing that there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces she never did care for pie. That's by Tanifa Jordan, and in honor of Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. May you have a day filled with love tomorrow. Remember to always join us on the second Saturday each month. In the meantime, visit us online at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown to share your comments about today's show. While you're there, become a friend of the show and use the comment box to provide us with some feedback on today's show. Thanks again, Michael. Thanks again, Sandra.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at Yvonne@YvonneFBrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.YvonneFBrown.com, YvonneFBrown.com. To share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sidelines. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.